Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 135. Today I'm joined by my good friend David Williams back in the studio. David, good to have you.
It's great to be here.
We're going to have a little continuation from last week's program in the sense that we're going to be discussing hearing God's voice and discerning the voices of an imposter. There's many voices out there right now that are claiming different things that are going to happen, and good times are here again, and how do we hear the Lord's voice and amongst all these little confusing voices? Because there's voices out there also saying that judgment is coming upon the earth and nations. And so where are we right now? Did God suddenly change his mind from these other prophets, or maybe it was our time clock off? And what I want to do is just open the program, is just share a little bit of my experience of learning to discern God's voice in my early years. One of the first things I wanted to know is if I was going to follow God. I knew he was real. I had an incredible demonstration when someone prayed for a friend of mine in the name of Jesus, and he was completely healed. And it got my attention. It's like God was dropped the ball back in my lap. I kind of thrown it up in his court, and I said, well, God, if you're real, show me a sign. And, well, the ball dropped back in my lap, and I hear these words, your move. You know, decision time, boy. What are you going to do now that you know I'm real? And I thought, you know, if God loved me so much that he took care of me all these years I didn't care about him, I thought, you know, how much more could he take care of me and love me if I put my life in his hands? So that was the turning point in my life. But I was saying, okay, well, I'm going to follow God. How do I know what he's supposed to, what he wants me to do, and what does his voice sound like? And so that was my first question. I said, God, how do I know it's really you speaking to me? And I wasn't thinking about anything else, but the thought that comes right back to my mind was eliminate the devil. And I'm thinking, well, eliminate the devil? What in the world does that mean? And then as I'm trying to ponder that thought, what does that mean? The next thought hit my mind was eliminate every error in your life that you've been deceived. And it's like this understanding just suddenly came to me. It's like I see these two hands in front of me and I hear these words, I'm the spirit of truth. I said, I'm come to bring life and bring more abundantly. On the other hand, Satan's the father of lies. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So I have these two hands of two opposites, and he's like, eliminate one. What do you have left? Eliminate the voice of deception. What do you have left? So I said, well, I don't necessarily know the voice of truth so much at this point in time in my life because I've been living a life of deception. And so I can start identifying the voices that have deceived me. And so I started thinking about areas of my life that I've had allowed deception coming into my life. And I started thinking about drinking alcohol. That was the first thing that came to my mind. I've never had a wreck when I haven't been drinking. I get around the wrong people, say the wrong things, do stupid stuff. Obviously, there's deception that was coming in my life through alcohol. So that's the first thing that I did, eliminated that. And the thing that really the way I envisioned this thing was like a radio in your room, having, you know, numerous radios in your room. And he said, eliminate every area in your life you've been deceived. So what it told me was I need to turn off that station completely. It wasn't like, well, do in moderation. Yeah, cut back on it. He said, eliminate it. So that means you got to turn that radio off, that voice, until it clicks. And there is no more voice coming from that radio. So this is what I began to do in other areas of my life. And as I began to do this, I was literally just driving my car and I'm getting on the freeway and I hear these words as I'm turning my head, looking over my shoulder to see if I could get on the freeway. And I'm turning my head to look straight and I hear these words, if you'll live in me, I'll live in you. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Where did a thought like that come from? And I began to read the Bible for the first time, and I'm seeing in John that it says, if you'll dwell in me, I'll dwell in you. And I started reading this whole discourse of that was the Lord speaking to me. And I said, wow, I'm actually hearing God's voice, and I'm so excited. But this was just the journey. And I began to watch other people's lives as a new believer. And I started seeing how they're compromised areas in people's lives that they didn't want to turn the radio off all the way, the voice of deception or the voice of the enemy. And it became a voice of confusion because And I began to think about this. I thought, you know, if I really needed an answer from God and I had a willingly allowed a voice of deception in my life, one of those radio stations still on, so to speak, then how would I know when I need an answer from God? How do I know it's really Him speaking to me? Because I was willingly allowing another voice to speak into my life. And so what it really began to really show me is that this is critical, that you have undefiled ears, untainted ears for my voice. And so it really made, if I saw any area in my life that I was allowing deception, I wanted nothing to do with it. And because, you know, it's like it really comes, boils down to have a heart for the truth. Do you really want to know the truth? Do you really want to live the truth? And if you do, then it's like you don't want to have anything to do with something that's going to cause problems in your life. I was so tired of taking one step forward in my life and then two steps back. You know, life isn't that long to keep making these mistakes. So I was determined, I'm going to get my life right, and I'm going to make sure that I'm hearing right. And so this is kind of like a prelude to what we want to talk about tonight, because we want to make sure that people have every opportunity to hear from the Lord right now for their own life. And this, I believe, is critical, that we eliminate every voice of confusion, every voice that's deception, that we know is in our life right now. Because if we don't eliminate what we know isn't God in our life, then we are accepting two masters. We're accepting two voices, and we're accepting confusion. And I believe right now we've come to a point in time in the history of the world, history of what's going on right now, is that we have to hear very clearly from the Lord, get our instructions, and do what He says. You know, John 10:27, we've discussed this before, but it says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. There is a connection between us knowing His voice and us following Him, and then Him knowing us too. And so, David, I want to discuss some of these things with you. We've got some scriptures that we want to discuss about some historical times with Israel when there were other voices out there speaking and bringing confusion to His people. And I think many ways, maybe they opened the door to confusion, maybe by the compromise that they were living in their own life as well.
Well, you know, before we started recording today, we were talking about a quote that says, in its simplest definition, discernment is nothing more than the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. And as you were talking, I was mindful of the fact that when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan came to Him quoting Him the word of God. But it was not the moment for that particular word, and Jesus knew it. He, you know, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So being one with the Father, He knew that that's not what that what Satan was speaking to Him, even though it was from the Scriptures, was not the word for the moment from His Father. And so, you know, we've talked about friends of ours who we have locally who say, well, you know, I don't think I hear God the way that you do. And yet the hearing of God in our life is not solely, certainly not with our natural ear, but sometimes not even what we would call a voice, so to speak. Maybe not in words. It's in the knowing God that we're able to discern. And praise God for those times when He makes things absolutely 100% clear as far as direction in our lives. But if we will simply know Him through the Scriptures, through prayer, through a lifetime spent, you know, submitting ourselves to His will, then the way will be made clear to us, I believe. And, you know, in First Chronicles, it talks about the sons of Issachar who understood the times and the seasons. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, very applicable to us right now, certainly as we've entered, or it appears that we're going to enter a new season in the United States of America with a new leader, perhaps, a new president who, as we sit and talk today, is just a few weeks away from hopefully being inaugurated. And yet there is confusion, because many Christians who have had concern over the judgment of God in regards to America are now wondering, well, gee, is everything okay now? Is it peace and safety? Are our best years ahead? Will the American dollar come back and be stronger than ever? You know, and there are a lot of conflicting voices from folks who have been labeled as prophets, whether by themselves or others, and people are trying to discern. So a lot of that is part of what's sparking our mm-hmm. discussion this morning.
You mentioned something really interesting this morning, that if you were able to digitize, let's say, your voice, and using that digitized voice, someone sent a message to your wife, but the message wasn't your character. Describe that situation, because it's interesting, because what I thought about is like Satan when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness. It's like digitizing his voice. I'm going to speak God's word, and you're to obey God's word, but is that his voice that's behind his word? In other words, there were the words of God, just almost exact, but a little taken out of context and, you know, the way he does. But it's interesting, because it's not so much that you know his word without knowing his voice.
Right. Well, and the thought came, what if, you know, with technology today, what if any of our voices could be digitized so that we could simply open a text document and type away whatever message we wanted to have read, and that text could be converted to speech, and that could be played back for someone. And I thought, well, what if I were to make a phone call, someone were to make a phone call with my digitized voice and say to my wife, "Hey, honey, I'm at the bar, and I'm with the guys, and we're watching the baseball game, and I'll be home at 2 a.m. My wife would, that would raise some red flags for her. She'd say, "Well, he doesn't drink, he hates baseball, and he doesn't like to stay out late." So she'd ask a question, "Well, honey, really? Why would you do that?" And maybe another response would come, but there'd be all kinds of suspicions, and she would say, "You know, it sounds like my husband, but that's not my husband." And I think it's that way with the Lord. The longer we walk with him, the more we understand his character and his ways. And the more we understand judgment is not necessarily some harsh God who's got his fist doubled up and he's just looking for who he can waylay. You know, that tough love is a God who is holy and righteous and wants us to acquire his attributes. And it's out of love that he brings judgment, that he brings correction, that he brings chastisement.
You know, this is, you know, many people think judgment is all bad, but I could be in a court of law right now and I could be awarded $1 million. That would be the judgment of the judge, that he made a judgment and he awarded me $1 million, let's say. Well, it wasn't bad at all. It was a judgment. It was a decision. And if you really see that the judgment of God is merely just decisions that he's making, okay, I have made a decision regarding this situation right now. I've made a decision here, right? So we have to look at it. God's making decisions right now, but it's based upon our decisions. Are you going to turn your whole heart to me? Are you going to serve the world and love the world? Or I'm about ready to get married. I'm looking for a bride. I'm looking for a bride who loves me, who's made a decision to love me and to prove that love by their obedience to me and to please me. And they know what I like and know what I don't like. I mean, if you think about it, that's really what you're describing, is that, you know, your wife would know what you like and what you don't like based upon her time with you and her experience with you and your character. And so when she sees these words that don't line up to what you like, what you don't like, what your character is, then you should go, "Wait, sure sounds like my husband's voice, but this ain't my husband. I know him." And this is why what we're going to get into right now is there's many voices out there. They're saying things, but is it in line with the character of God, in the person of God? Does he wink at sin? Does he allow it to continue to go on and on without bringing correction to a person or to a nation?
Well, and you know, with the scriptures, we have 4,000 years of God's history with man, and we see that he is a righteous judge. We see that when he makes judgments, when he executes judgments, such as sending his children into exile, for example, we see, no, that's righteous. They're headed for self-destruction. They're persisting in wickedness. He's cleansing them. He's cleansing the land. He's setting things back in right order. And so it's easy for us to see that reading about someone else's life. But when it comes to our own lives, our own nation, our own time, we often feel like, no, I would much rather believe the preacher down the street who says that God's a nice, warm, soft cuddly teddy bear, and he's my Santa Claus in the sky, and he really wants to bend himself to my whims and my wishes. But he's not. He's righteous, he's holy, and out of his love, he invites us to partake of that holiness and to be righteous as he is. And if we'll submit to him, then he'll change us. And so it's just an interesting thing right now. You know, we have so many people. We have many people again who have either claimed that they are prophets or their fans are saying such of them. And they say Donald Trump is now in office. America's greatest days are ahead. And then I would like to believe that. And yet there are those like myself and yourself who believe that God still has judgment in store for a nation that has persisted in wickedness. You know, it's easy to point the finger at political figures or leaders that we have not been in agreement with and to say, oh, well, it's their fault. They've been the ones that have done this or that. But I would have to ask, you know, all of the millions and millions of abortions, who knows what the number is? We hear numbers like 50, 60, 70 million babies aborted since Roe v. Wade in 1973. Well, was it the leaders who were aborting those babies or was it the people? You know, you look at the proliferation of pornography and filth in our entertainment industry, who's watching that? Who's handing over their hard-earned dollars to make those industries prosper? Is it our leaders or is it the people? You know, you look at the ratings on TV for the NFL, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, all of these things that in and of themselves are not bad, but we have risen to a form of idolatry. Well, who's funding that? It is the people. And so, you know, rather than point the finger at the leaders, we would have to ask, have the people of the United States of America repented? Is there any indication that we have repented in any way? And I have not yet seen it.
You know, I wrote an article. One of the first articles I ever wrote was called Whose Mark Do You Bear? And I mentioned in this article that as a representative form of government, that the leaders merely represent the people. And so if we have wicked leaders in charge of our land, well, they're representing the wickedness of the land. Because you wonder, okay, Israel had their highs and their lows. Well, we had a wicked ruler, and it was a bad time for Israel. We had a good ruler. Was it because, look, we just had a wicked leader come, and all these innocent people were harmed, and, you know, the prosperity was suddenly left because a wicked leader somehow got in there. Now, I think that the wicked leader represented what the wickedness that was in the land. It was just God's point. It was the point man for the nation. So in that sense, as the point man changed, is Donald Trump going to change the morality of the nation? He's going to stop abortion. I posted something the other day that I saw that would just blew me away was this repentant doctor who had performed over 1,200 abortions, and these are second trimester abortions, and he described the procedure. He no longer does this procedure, but he describes what he has to do with a computerized animation of the procedure, and he showed these particular tools that he used. It's like this long spoon-billed looking device that had ridges on it that when it grabs onto something, it won't let go. And you reach inside the womb, you grab whatever's there, you pull a leg off, and you break the baby in pieces. And you even break the point that you have to crush the skull. And he described that he had to grab the head and crush the skull until he saw gray matter coming out of the womb. And then you knew that the head was going to be small enough to pull the head out. And then they have to reassemble the baby on the table to make sure they got all the baby out of the mother. And I looked in this thing, I saw it's 20 million views that have seen this video on YouTube. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, now we know that this happens every day, second trimester abortions, and 20 million people have seen this thing, but what are the 20 million people doing about it that have seen it? This is really, what has the nation become? That we know this stuff happens every day, but yet we do nothing about it. And so is one man going to suddenly save the day, or is a nation turning from its wicked ways going to save the day? I've only seen one formula God ever gave in Scripture for a nation to be restored, and that was 2 Chronicles 7:14. And he gave this scripture during Israel's heyday. It was the dedication of the temple of Jerusalem that he gave us. If my people, you know, if you happen to slide away from me, here's the formula to get back. And if you don't follow this formula completely, you won't get back. In other words, if you don't fulfill the whole pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, it's all there. But every one of those has to, many people think, well, we prayed and we fasted and Donald Trump got in. But the formula wasn't completed. We didn't turn from our wicked ways. This procedure's still going on every day. I mean, all these other things, the pornography, as we said a couple programs ago, it's on track right now for a 55% increase over the next 3 years in America alone. So where's the turning of the wicked ways? I don't see it. So that's why we're discussing these things today on this program, because we need the message of repentance. Cannot stop here. I mean, just because Donald Trump won the election, I'm concerned now that the election has now changed the mindset that there is no need of repentance. We've already done it. That's why he got in. And that's a scary place to be right now.
Right. And to clarify, we are not anti-Trump. We are not anti-America. More than anything, we are pro-God. We are pro-righteousness, wanting to see repentance, wanting to see all come into submission to Jesus. But again, you know, the main thing would be that repentance. You know, in regards to those voices, here's what God said through the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 23, and I'll start in verse 16. He says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way, and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues, and say, He saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies, and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit these people at all, saith the Lord.
Wow, what a warning. There's Ezekiel chapter 13, too, that we were discussing. I think it started in verse 1.
And Ezekiel 13 says, And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, The Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision, and have ye not spoken a lying divination, whereas ye say, The Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity, and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Because they have seduced my people, saying, Peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it.
Very interesting that God would warn his people and say, do not listen to the false prophets. But here's the problem. How do you know he's a false prophet? Unless you know the truth, unless you know the personality and what is God speaking. And this is what I have seen for so long as a Christian, is that this is the importance of eliminating every area in your life that you know is not God, because now there's a voice, there's another voice that you've allowed to entertain and allow to speak to you, and now you need answers. Well, God, what are you saying right now? I want to hear your voice. And I believe that he, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, he said you will be filled. So if you really do want to know the truth, God will speak the truth. But you have to eliminate what you know is not. I can't overemphasize this enough, that right now, if there's areas of those that are listening right now and you know this is not God's voice in your life, or you know it's a voice of deception or a voice that is not bringing God's character into your life, I just encourage you to begin to go through like a house cleaning, and just go through one house room at a time and just begin to clean up the clutter, clean up the junk, get rid of the distractions right now that may be taking away from your what God wants you to do. I think of Tobias and Sanballat, how they were there to distract Nehemiah from building the wall. It's time to get rid of all the distractions right now and to do what God's called us to do. David, thanks again for joining us on the program today.
Absolutely.
And thank you for listening to Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.